Is anyone else just constantly worrying? I feel like it can't just be me, but I feel like worry should be my middle name. But I have recently discovered Cover My Bubble. Cover My Bubble are a family insurance company who started their business in memory of their daughter. When Lilybeth passed away, they didn't have any insurance and lost Emma's income into the family, which was very difficult. They are here to help families with affordable insurances such as life, critical illness, income protection, children's cover and bump cover. Yep, children can be covered too. Now Emma loves a question, so why not reach out to her at Cover My Bubble and let her help you. Hello and welcome back to my podcast, Tits, Tums and All Things Mum. I am your host, Lottie, and I am here to normalise normal parenthood and to show everyone that really, we're all just winging it. Join me and my amazing guests to make sense of the chaos and work through motherhood together. Hello and welcome back to Tits, Tums and All Things Mum. I am here with the lovely Alana today. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good, good. Thank you so much for coming on. Could you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm Alana and I live in West Cornwall. So right down in the little tiny tip of the map, basically in the middle of nowhere. I'm a mum of two. Both my children are under five, so I'm pretty constantly knackered. Yep. Meryn is nearly five and Enzo is two. So that's my mum life, and I have a Vizsla.
Yeah,
she's sat next to me now. But and yeah, I am an infant feeding coach, and that's what I'm passionate about, is helping mums to breastfeed and supporting them into motherhood, basically, because
amazing.
I feel like there is always the need for more support for mums.
Oh yes. But oh my God, Cornwall is literally the, like, if I could afford to pick up my family and friends and just plonk them all in Cornwall,
it is
that
really
is what I would do.
Raising, I mean, we are far away from anything. Like, we've only just got a Primark recently.
But that's so funny.
It is really a nice place to raise the kids. It's the beach. Yeah. I can literally walk to the beach in about 10 minutes.
Oh, that's so amazing.
Yeah, we are lucky down
when
here.
I win the lottery one day, I'm picking up all my family and everyone that I love and I'm putting them in Cornwall. That's where we go on holiday every year for our staycations.
Yeah,
I just love it. We have got family down there as well, to be fair, but just not enough of the family are down there for me to make the move, but it's so beautiful. Yeah. So
a lot of people want to live here.
Lovely. But yes, your job, infant feeding coach, I think is probably one of the most important jobs out there. I'm not going to lie, because nobody tells you how hard breastfeeding is.
Don't.
You just assume that you're going to have the baby. It's going to know how to feed. You're going to know how to feed. It's this natural thing that just happens. And then it doesn't. So
exactly.
Is that a general thing? I feel like breastfeeding is hard. Is that a general thing, or do most people find it easy? I just don't know what consensus is here.
From my experience so far, and having lots of friends that have children, and being in my job, it's definitely a mixed thing. Once you get going, it's the easiest thing. It's getting past those first few weeks of feeling overwhelmed, because they just want you all the time. And yeah, you're right, it's a skill that you kind of both have to learn. And sometimes, with the way it is, unfortunately, when you're in hospital or whatever, they sort of bish bash bosh, you're okay. And it's when you're at home in the middle of the night by yourself thinking, shit, I can't remember what I'm doing, is this right? So it is hard. It is hard. But just because it's hard doesn't mean it has to be hard, if that makes sense. If you get the right support from the beginning and you learn together with your baby and you have the right support network around you, it can be so easy. It's just those first few hurdles that, some people don't just get. And that's when women start to give up. And that's why I would love to be able to step in and just help as many women as possible to not go through those struggles. Because, you don't get told of all the tough bits. Yeah. Otherwise, no one would want to do it. So
that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Although, like the second time, I did know about the difficulties, because the first time I struggled so much and obviously did the reading. Because I didn't do the reading the first time because I was one of those people that assumed it would just happen. So then I ran into all these difficulties, read up on everything. And then the second time I did know the difficulties, but I still really wanted to master it. And I was like, right, this time I'm going to do it. I'm going to breastfeed right up until a year. I had that number in my head. And when I have a number in my head, that's what I'm going to go for. And I put so much pressure on myself to do it. But we had a load of difficulties as a result of a tongue tie. But yeah, it was just so much harder than I ever thought that something so natural would be. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we all need one of you to just move into our house for the first like, 6 months and just reassure. Because like the cluster feeding, nobody tells you about that.
No, and you end up doubting
through cluster feeding, will you?
Yeah, I think if you have a realistic expectation of what a newborn actually is like, yes, it's still hard and overwhelming, but at least you think, right, this is normal. Okay, this is what I learned about. This is what I read about. This is what I was expecting. It's when mums go into it a little bit blind, thinking, oh, I'm just going to wing it. It'll just be all right. Or they, you know, feed every 2 or 3 hours, put them down, they sleep, I'll get on. It's that sort of...
Lol, yeah, right.
Yeah. Like, what is my own time anymore? Yeah, so that cluster feeding is just one example of something that, if you don't know what that is, you end up feeling like you've got no milk left at the end of the night, and that's when the formula comes in, which is absolutely okay. It's just if it's as a result of doubting your own abilities to feed your baby... and you think it's your own milk supply, but actually cluster feeding is just normal. It's basically them just like dialing into your boobs and saying, hey, I'm putting in my order for tomorrow. I'm just going to keep feeding right now. So you may as well glue your butt to the sofa and
Oh, but honestly, when you're in that cluster feed though, like, oh my God, it's so frustrating and you're just knackered and you just had enough and you're like, I think that's probably when a lot of mums probably quit, because it's just relentless. And my best friend, bless her, she's had her second baby 8 months ago. Her first baby she breastfed her for a year, but she said that the cluster feeding was a lot different, and I know every baby's different, but she says that this time round it was just so intense. And she'd be messaging me like all the time, like, what is wrong with my baby? Why is she feeding all the time? I don't understand. I haven't slept in a week. And I was like, oh yeah, I remember it well. But like, you've got this, just keep pushing through. You'll get to a point where it will get easier. But when they're in it, it's just so freaking hard.
Oh yeah. You feel like you're never going to come out of that tunnel of just, you're like a milk machine and you feel a bit tapped out. And that's when you need to kind of put things in place to go, right, I need this space just for 10 minutes so someone comes in, takes a baby, so you're not feeling like you can't breathe. Because can love it and hate it, but it doesn't mean you want to give up. It's just getting through those hurdles and actually knowing that that is normal, and it does get easier. God, it does really get easier, but you just need to be prepared for that, and no one can prepare you. And hopefully the more people like myself that can help mums and prepare you before, I try and get to mums while they're pregnant.
Yeah.
And often they don't know that they need me yet, because they're not going through that struggle and they think, oh, well, yeah, but I'm pregnant and the baby's not even here yet. Like, why do I need to learn about? But it's like people like, I was the same as you. I struggled first time. And then the second time I was like, right, I want to read about this. I want to learn about it. Why was it like this the last time?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it is tough, but
yeah,
it does get easy. And it is rewarding when it does go well, because there's nothing like that. Well, Booby seems to solve everything when you're in the moment.
Yeah, I've got a three-year-old that's still boob-obsessed now. He's like, he doesn't breastfeed anymore, but he's just got this, like, love for my boobs.
It's like a comfort.
Like, he won't go to sleep.
Mine just laughs at mine now, like, all day.
Yeah. Unless he's laying, he calls them my boobaloobas. And he's like, "Mom, I need a boobalooba cuddle." And he'll just, like, lay and cuddle my boob. And I'm like, oh, bless. And I guess it's probably because he still associates that, like, comfort.
Yeah, comfort.
Boobs. Mm-hmm. I just hope,
yeah,
I hope he grows out of it fairly soon. Because could you imagine having, like, an older child that's, like,
child,
like 10 years old, that's like, "I need to cuddle your
mom." Yeah.
Like, no.
Don't tell anyone.
Yeah, but bless him. I think it's lovely that, like, that's the thing I miss the most, is that I could, whenever there was anything going on, teething, some sort of leap, anything going on, I could just whop out a boob and go, "There you go, sorted, happy."
Yeah, and they do that kind of, you know, they say it's like magic, isn't it? Like that, you know, and it's not about putting pressure on mums to do that, but it is one of the benefits that if you do breastfeed, it can solve a lot of things. And that's when you think, I'm not going to give up just yet, because it, you know, I feed them to sleep, or I feed them for comfort if they're poorly, you know, there are loads of benefits of it. It's just it's just getting through those really bloody hard nights when you're the only one that feeds, you're the only one with the boobs, the milk. I remember looking over at my partner and thinking, I'm just like, pure frustration, because he's snoring and there's nothing. Because I wanted to feed, but it was like a frustration that I think, why am I the only one that could do this? But equally, if he said, you know, why don't you just try formula feeding, then I'm like, well, I don't want to, but
so exactly. My friend's just had a baby, she's like 2 weeks old now, but she's formula feeding, and I went round there the other day and I was like, "Do you want me to stay? Do you want me to, like, have her for a little bit so that you can go and have a sleep?" She was like, "Why?" And I was like, "Because you're tired." And she was like, "But, like, Rob, my partner, he can just do a feed and I can sleep." And I was like, "What?" Like, I just, like, totally not even, like, clicked that if you're formula feeding, you can sleep. And I was like, that's insane, isn't it? Like, when you're breastfeeding, you don't have that option, really. Like, I pumped because of the tongue tie, my kids couldn't latch, so I ended up pumping in the end. But you still have to get up and pump.
Exactly.
So it's difficult, isn't it?
You know, if you've got a partner and that type of relationship where they have to get up really early, and, you know, I have got friends that formula fed and they were still the ones getting up, and it even more hassle, because you would have to run downstairs and make the bottle.
That was nice about going out in public, is if you were going out in public and you needed to do a feed out in public, you don't have to take anything with you just have your boob, they're just there.
And, you know, that, again, that's another benefit of it. And not everyone has that, and not everyone is. So I never want to put the pressure on and say, you know, do you know what I mean? And make anyone feel bad that they're not breastfeeding. It's just sometimes they don't know. Yeah. They think that formula feeding can be easier. And sometimes it's not always easier, because it's right there for you if you've, you know, if you've got that choice to feed. And but it's definitely, I remember someone telling me that if I gave my first child, Marion, if I gave her formula, she would sleep all night. And I tell you, nothing, if that baby isn't going to sleep. I felt, Enzo was the worst sleeper, and he was breastfed and he had oat milk in the end. And so... if it's that decision of, oh, I've got to stop breastfeeding because that's what's keeping my baby awake, that, you know, that
Yeah.
That's not always the
My
case.
Kids don't even sleep now, and then they don't breastfeed anymore. They're five and three. They still don't bloody sleep. So, yeah, it's nothing to do with the feeding. No. But I'm very much pro informed or like choice is best. And if you know the pros and cons of each, if you know like the benefits, and if you know like the difficulties that you might come across with both, then you can make an informed decision. Like one of my friends has always breastfed her babies. The other friend has always formula fed her babies. And they're both choices that they've made based on what they know about both. And I've done both. I have breastfed and formula fed. So I think just as long as you know.
And that is the main thing to expect. Sometimes it's a lack of control and understanding that leads to you feeling like you failed because you didn't know something. When actually, if you've got all the cards laid out, you kind of, like you said, have that informed decision of what's going to be best for me and what's going to be best for us. At the end of the day, you know, that is going to be best because there is a lot of pressure put on mums to sometimes there's pressure from both ends. There's pressure from both. I've had clients that have said, you know, formula was really pushed on me and I didn't want to. And breastfeeding was really pushed on me and I was a bit unsure of.
Yeah.
So it kind of comes from both sides. And if you know, like you said, the benefits of and the risks or the, you know, pros and cons for both, then at least you've made that decision out of fully having the knowledge on both and not feeling
like
you're pushed into anything, because there's nothing worse than feeling guilty, because we have enough I feel like we have enough guilt as a mum.
I know I've had both of those situations. With my first, she was jaundiced and we got readmitted to hospital and she had to be under the lights, and to get rid of jaundice you have to feed a lot because it dilutes the bilirubin in their blood, and they forced formula on me then because I needed to get a certain amount of mils in her within a 24-hour period to clear the jaundice out of her. So I was trying to pump, but nothing was coming yet. I'd had a major hemorrhage, so I don't know if I just didn't have enough reserves left. But I wasn't getting any milk. I was feeding her as well. I don't know if she was getting anything because you can't tell, can you? But anyway, they made me feed her formula. And being a first time new mum that was very anxious, I did it, gave her formula, which possibly affected my later breastfeeding journey. But then the second time around, I went in informed. I knew all of the things. I knew that my first had a tongue tie, so I was looking for a tongue tie with my second, which they confirmed at birth. He did have a tongue tie. So I was like, okay, well, I don't want to go through all that again. So I need to evaluate what I want to do here, whether I want to feed. But it was very much like, right, you need to breastfeed. You need to do this. And I was like, okay, but is no one going to cut his tongue tie? Anyway, we paid privately to get his tongue tie cut. And then all was okay after that. But it was both sides, like pushed formula with the first and pushed breastfeeding with the second. So I'm sure a lot of mums experience that.
Yeah. Yeah. And there should never be it should never feel forced. It should just feel like people are guiding you or advising you and giving you the options and letting you know either way, this is what is good about breastfeeding, or this is what I feel like if it's going to affect your mental health in a negative way. I know I really struggled first time around. I didn't know as much as I do now, obviously, and I wish I did. And I remember I struggled mentally. Meryn didn't gain as much weight as I would have liked, and the health visitors would have liked, and you end up feeling like it's my fault, but I didn't give up. I didn't want to. And I felt very, very pressured into giving her formula. And I really didn't want to at the time. And I just wish I'd known all of the facts and actually how much maybe it was impacting my mental health. And that if I had known that actually any breast milk is great. So if I did want to come and be feed at the time, because I was suffering with the guilt and the, then that was okay too. Because you end up feeling a bit like it's your fault. And actually it's not, it was just a lack of knowledge and a lack of understanding. That led to, it's not worth your, what am I trying to say? It's not worth your mental health declining if it's not going well. I mean, my first piece of advice would be to seek support if it's not going well. And if you've tried all the...
But there is so much pressure out there, isn't
just
there?
Just around anything, like, I feel like, as a mum. There's pressure of literally anything to do with being a mum. I feel like at times, it's like a constant trying to keep up with things sometimes. And there shouldn't be that stigma around it, because everyone has their own pace, their own journey, their own experience. And no one... I remember looking back and comparing and thinking, why is that baby over there feeding really still and for a long time under this muslin calmly? And my baby was wriggling and would pop off and just like, that would be it, 10-minute feed, boom. And I just would think there's something wrong, but you're always comparing. And then maybe second time around, you have the confidence and think, actually, doesn't matter what they're doing. I'm going to focus on what I'm doing. So it's, it's that constant pressure. And I feel like every mum has gone through something like that. And
Yeah, definitely. I definitely felt the pressure the second time. The first time I wasn't online really, and I think that made a massive difference. Yeah. But the second time I was on social media, and like all I was seeing was like breast is best posts and things like that. And I think although I said to myself that that's not what I believe. I believed in informed is best. I think subconsciously it kind of sits in your brain, doesn't it? And you're thinking, I should keep going. I should keep going. And I did that to the detriment of my own mental health. I just kept going, And I 100% believe that continuing despite these difficulties caused my postpartum depression, because Bailey's tongue tie reattached, basically. So he can't, he's not got a good oral tone, basically. Now it reattached, he has no oral tone, and now he struggles to swallow actual food now as well, and he struggles with his speech because of the reattached tongue tie. I didn't know that. I just struggled on, continued going up to 4 months, and then I was like, why am I doing this? Who am I doing this for? Because it's certainly not for me. And Bailey wasn't happy either. Like, he was screaming constantly. He was very windy, where he was just not latching properly, sucking loads of air in every feed. And we were just both miserable. And I just was like, right, that's enough. But the thing is, I made the mistake of posting about it online. And I got a lot of hate. I got told, you've not tried enough, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, who are these people? So I now make a point of saying to anyone that is struggling with breastfeeding, like, you need to think about your happiness and the happiness of your baby. Ignore anyone else. Shut out the noise. You need to think about you, and just you do you. And I think if every mum adopted you do you, it would be an easier place to parent.
And not just with breastfeeding, then but everything to do with...
No, with everything, just parenting in general.
like that postpartum, postnatal period is really hard. So, just focusing on what you're doing and not trying to keep up with things. And that social media life pressure is really hard. And you end up seeing maybe not always the most reliable information, and if they're quite like a bit of an influencer, they're just telling you their experiences, that's not always the most educational post. And then you end up thinking, well, my feeding doesn't look like that, and my baby doesn't feed like that, and why? And actually sometimes those posts are not correct. So if you do have to go online and follow someone because you want to know more, you know, kind of make sure that they know what they're talking about, because there's nothing worse than comparing and then going, oh God, like so-and-so online is doing that and feeding like that, and I should be doing that, but actually that's just their, do you know what I mean? Just that's just their experience, and they're not. It's a tough one.
But even with your friends, I guess, because I used to sit and watch my best friend feed her baby, and I was like, what, why does that look so easy? Mm. Like, she'd literally just put her on and she'd just feed beautifully and like, and just be done. And like, I just remember trying to feed my baby, and like, both of them would like feed a little bit, stop, feed, stop, feed, stop, scream for a little bit, go back on. And I was like, this is not what my friend looks like. But then everyone's different. Every baby is different.
That is true.
And you've just got to know the correct information about what's going on, and know just things like the position.
That is a game changer.
How you can get a better lap.
Even those early days when, you know, yes, a tongue tie can impact their feeding massively, but if the right support is given at the right time in the beginning, sometimes a tongue tie doesn't always impact feeding. So there are lots of babies that can still feed with a tongue tie. It just depends on if it does affect their feed. But if someone can show you the correct positioning, that can change everything. And that's just one small, but you think you've got it because, there's a lot of old school information out there, and it just takes maybe a tiny adjustment of moving the baby and you understanding how attachment is them attaching and positioning is how you are holding the baby. And if you just something so small like that, and you think, why did I not think this or know this? I was thinking it was something serious and I've got no milk, I'm not making any, it's my body, oh, I can't do it, my boobs are too small, my boobs are too big. Like,
I got the big boob problem.
I got the small boob problem.
Oh, no. Yeah. I remember being in hospital with my first, and all I had ever seen was the traditional cradle hold. And I was trying to do it like that with big boobs.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, I can't. Why is it not working? And this brilliant maternity care assistant came around, and she showed me the rugby hold.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God, it changed everything. I was like, this is great. Like, it works for big boobs. So
did you see mum trying to lift up their out there, really big boobs and, like, going, trying to, like, put the boob in the mouth? And
poor baby.
And actually, you just got to let it hang and bring your baby to the boob.
But the weight of that boob on the babe's head, like, could you imagine? My boobs probably weigh, like, a couple of kilograms each. That poor baby's head.
And I had the opposite. I remember thinking, first time around, like, maybe, you know, this was me having no knowledge at all. I hadn't trained in any of this. And I genuinely had heard somewhere that someone had said, I couldn't feed because my boobs are so small, I couldn't make enough milk. And that somewhere, that must have stuck in my head because I've got quite small boobs. And actually,
do you reckon that's the thing of men saying, look at those big old milk
jugs? It has nothing, literally nothing to do with the size of your boob.
I know, but like there's...
It's crazy.
There was a thing, wasn't there, in like some sitcom about calling them like the bigger the breasts, like big old milk jugs. And it's like, actually, no, it's nothing.
No.
Size is nothing to do with how much milk is in there at all. So,
but those myths still fly around out there. And it's just, I have a session where I like offer antenatal support, and we kind of go over those myths and basically the crap that's put out there. And a lot of the people are shocked and are like, really? I thought that was true. Just,
And it's crazy, isn't it? I saw one in a Facebook group the other day and I commented on it because I was like, no, like this poor mum's going to destroy her breastfeeding journey because of this myth. And it was that she was trying to pump, but she wasn't getting much when she was pumping. So she was assuming that that same amount was going to her baby. And I was like, no. Like, babies are much more efficient at feeding than pumps are.
Aren't like a,
so please ignore
they're
not like a baby. They don't have, what is it, the babies like have something, don't they, that can stimulate the milk to come out.
And it's just the, is sometimes it's just the oxytocin and the warm, then your boobs are more built for a baby to drain the milk, not a, And you know, that sound of it, that's so off-putting. Imagine getting up at 3 a.m. and you just got this like, and then you see a few drips and instantly your mind goes to, I've got no milk. Mm. This can't be right. And then you get stressed, which then, you know, is the opposite of what you want to be.
That sound gives me PTSD.
Yeah, I know, right?
drip.
And I would look at my friends that were just literally like milking, filling the freezers up with their milk supply. And I'm thinking, what am I doing wrong? But actually it's, you're right. It has no correlation to how much milk. And unfortunately you can't physically see how much a baby is getting, which is a worry for some mums because they like to know that their baby's being fed. Who wouldn't want to know that their baby's full and happy? And but there's other signs to look out for. There's, you know, are they doing enough poos and wees and all that? And are they happy in between a feed? Is it pain-free? That, you know, there's so many other things that are signs that it's going well other than looking at the mills in a bottle and knowing actually that that's how much they've had or not had. So it's it's just about getting those bits out there, and that's what I try and do in my job is not to ever, it's like you said, being informed. It's not ever to say that formula is any worse or breastfeeding is any better. It's just about these are the facts and these are the options you've got, and now you can make your decision. Because
I love that. Mothering is hard enough without having like a forced thing on you. And I love infant feeding coaches that are like transparent about it. And they're not just like, oh, well, you know, it's not that hard. And like, I like the fact that they're giving you all of the information about how difficult it is, but kind of helping you and giving you ways of overcoming those difficulties. I just
I talk a lot about postpartum as well in my like breastfeeding and my I do a birth preparation class, but we really heavily focus on the postpartum phase because actually loads of practitioners and health professionals will say, you know, have you prepped for the birth, have you got a birth plan, but not many people say, have you got a feeding plan or a postpartum plan? And most people kind of are like, what's that, or I'll just go with the flow when the baby's here. But actually I like to think I'm so honest and don't hide the bits that nobody wants to hear loads of negative stories. It's not about being negative, it's about being realistic. And all those things that I wish I knew about what happens to my body, like what is going on with my body and the hormones. Like I just felt like I was going insane.
And also the fourth trimester. No one bloody talks about the fourth trimester. Mm-mm. And I was shocked to my very core when I had my first child. I was like, what the fuck is this? Why is this baby attached to me 24/7? Will not sleep anywhere but on me, which means I then can't sleep. And then I read up about the fourth trimester.
And as soon as you... have you ever seen those... I don't know who doesn't, like sometimes you see a post on Facebook where it's like a letter from the baby to you.
Oh, is it the poem? Oh God, I shared this.
And it's
this,
like, and dear mum,
mummy, I felt
this is what,
in
my God.
And
in tears.
I cry every time I read that, even
now. Yeah, I know. And like second time I was like, right, just go with it. Accept that you are, this is you for a minute. It's not going to be forever. Yeah. And if you are expecting that, and I tell mums and I tell my clients and the dads, they come as couples to me, and like things are going to happen and emotions are going to come out and life is going to be different. It's not just going to be just chuck them in a backpack and off we go. It might be some days but some days are going to be like all I've done. I remember saying to my mum, she goes, what have you done today? I'm like, mum, I've done nothing today. Like I've achieved nothing. And she'd be like, Alana,
I've kept the baby alive.
You've kept her alive and you fed her with just your body and your milk and just you. And that, and I'm like, but I didn't get to do the dishes. I didn't get to walk the dog. I haven't like had a shower yet. And I think actually if I'd known that's what life is going to look like for a little bit, just a little bit, just even though it feels like forever. Once you just sink into that a little bit and think, right, let's find the shittiest Netflix series I can watch. I'm just going to sit here in my nursing bra, boobs out, and I'm just going to feed. It's so much, it's not easy, but it's easier, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Just to embrace it a little bit. And
yeah.
Yeah, not many people talk about that. And
I need to get out of these freaking Facebook groups, that these mum Facebook groups. But another, I saw another post the other day from a mum that was like, I don't get it. I've got a 2-week-old baby. She won't sleep in her crib. She won't sleep in her Moses basket. She won't sleep anywhere but on me. And I was like, it's normal. Mm-hmm. It's okay. You've got this. Just get a little basket of snacks and drinks. Get the remote. Get a charger, like a charging block thing. And just you're going to have to just do it, because that's how it's going to be for the next, you know, couple of weeks.
And that is normal. But that is normal.
People obviously just don't know about that. And it's really sad that they don't know. Like, because I remember just thinking, first of all, my baby's broken. And second of all, if this is my life now, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be a mum. Like, what the hell have I done? But then the second time, I was like, cool, let's find some crap on the telly. I got like a little basket of food and like loads of stuff to put next to me, and I was just like, yeah, we're gonna go with it. And I moved out of the bedroom because I was like, there's no point in me being in the bedroom at all because no sleeping is happening. But yeah, you just have to go with it.
Yeah, massively. And just being that little bit more prepared, I feel like you've obviously learned, if you've had a baby before, you learn, right, I won't fall for that one again. But trying to tell mums and just get them to talk about it. And it's I think some mums feel like they're moaning, but because they've chosen to have children and now they're moaning about it.
Oh god, that old fucking chestnut.
And I'm like, but it doesn't mean you don't want to be a mum or don't want to breastfeed. Yeah. There are times where I was like, I'm not breastfeeding anymore. Tomorrow morning, I'm going straight down to Boots. I can't do this.
Yeah.
It's 2 o'clock in the morning. When's the next? Blah, 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 blah. And then 6 o'clock would come around. And I think, oh, I've done another night. And then they would be a bit happier. And a good day would happen. I think, oh, I can do it tonight. And then, it would just be a cycle of you don't want to. I can't be a mum, but I love being a mum. I love my kids. I need a break. Yeah. But if I have a break, I'm going to get like told off for wanting to have a break.
Yeah.
I should be there like 55 hours a day. Well, there isn't 55 hours in a day there, so
it feels like it sometimes. I heard a brilliant quote. It was from Chantel Champs, who I've had on my podcast, who is the author of the book Milk It. She is brilliant. She basically, the quote was, don't quit on your worst day because tomorrow might be your best. And I was like, love it. It's so true. Like, you're having a shitty night. Yeah. Like, don't quit then. Wait until you're feeling better. And if you're feeling better and you still want to stop, then that's fine. But if you feel better the next day and you decide, actually, I can carry on doing this, then carry
it's
on.
It's about making like small goals. Sometimes the sound of 6 months of this is too much. So I try and tell moms, if they're feeling a little bit like, not sure I can even try this, just try that first 3 days. But get the colostrum bit out of the way.
Yeah.
And then see how you
feel. Yeah.
And then maybe get to a week and then see how you feel. And not jumping to like feed for two years. Oh my God. Because actually, you know, you never know. You might get to like 3 years and like you and did you say you've had 3 years or
no? I only did it for 4 months and then I pumped after that. I mean, it's still breast, still breast milk, but not actually like
having that
breastfeeding
goal is like it seems more achievable than jumping.
Yeah, definitely.
Then saying that,
like my friend, she always said she wants to do a year, and she's always had a year in her head. And now she's at 8 months and she's like, when she's having a difficult night, she's like, oh, I could just stop now. But then I'm like, but I've got this far. Like, I might as well just carry on to a year.
Because it'll go through peaks and troughs of it'll be a breeze and it'll be so easy. And then they might have a growth spurt and be stuck to you again and they get poorly. You think they're just calming down on the boob and then suddenly they've got a cold and all they want is boob and they don't want their food. And it kind of goes up and down.
Yeah.
And that is just what breastfeeding is. Yeah. Not everybody is told that and knows that. And hopefully more people will be getting out there in the world to inform mums and dads, you know, and parents, both that's what it looks like. It's not always like this. It's like, ooh.
Yeah. I love that. I always said one day that I would, there's the little badges that they do that's like silver boobs, golden boobs, all of those things. I always said one day that I would buy a big old basket of them and just go out in the town centre and find breastfeeding mums and be like, right, how long have you been feeding for? Here you go. Here's a badge. And just try and like bring that like, you know, pride in breastfeeding out.
Given to me.
I remember.
Like that said,
oh, did you? Oh, I've seen those well, actually.
Feeding in public. And I was like,
oh, yeah, I've seen those.
I didn't even really. I didn't think about it. I was just like, right, where can I? I'm just going to perch on this sofa in a cafe. And I was sort of sat there. I probably was a little bit like, this is probably like the 8 feet and 2 hours. And I was just, I must have looked a bit like, drained. And because she came over and she went, I'll give you this. And I was like, what? Oh. And she just kind of gave me that look like, you're doing a good job. I tried hard.
Yeah.
Burst into tears because I was like, oh, someone's acknowledged.
Yeah.
She gets it. Like, it was quite nice.
Yeah.
And you don't see many mums.
Yeah. I remember being out feeding and an old lady walked over to me and I thought, oh, shit. Because, like, the older generation tend to be a bit more like, hide it, cover it up. But she came over and she put her hand on my shoulder and she was like, I just wanted to say well done for having the confidence for feeding in public. You don't see that a lot anymore, but it's just really nice to see. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna cry. But it was so lovely, bless her. But I want to give other people that feeling as well when they're feeding out in public,
because it is kind of there has been times when people have got bad press about for it, and that blows my mind a little bit, because I think it's so natural. When did it become boobs have been sexualized quite a lot, but when did it become,
but you're not using them in a sexual way when you're feeding your baby. So it's ridiculous.
It's just like, if you're uncomfortable, don't look
away.
Exactly,
walk away.
Because if when I catch your eye, I'm gonna give you the what are you looking at sort of face, and then they're like, I hadn't experienced a negative, but I know people that have, and I just feel like, whoa, I can't imagine that. But
if someone ever said to me in public, like, cover up when you're feeding, I would literally just put the muzzy over my head and be like, is that better?
Or fire the milk at them.
Squirt breast milk at them everywhere, honestly. But some people don't have the confidence to do that, and it would really like shake them up if someone did say something in public. So I really hate that there has been this kind of sexualization of it and making people feel as though they can't, because like with you're feeding your baby, it's not as if you're like, you know, people have their tits out in a sexual way like in public. So why? I don't understand. It just baffles
and me. You're in a bikini, right? The baby's baby's head is covering your nipple.
Exactly.
Part of, and most people do it discreetly. They're not going to go like with a megaphone, I'm about to feed my baby, everyone. Like most people just get the baby, they, you know, the baby's a bit crying and you just shove them on, and it's like, oh yeah, it just blows my mind.
I mean, I was at the beach last year and two ladies in teeny tiny little thongs and no bras were just wandering up and down the beach, and nobody was saying to them, like, cover up.
No.
And yet, if you were breastfeeding, someone would say, cover up. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't understand you human beings. No. What is wrong with you?
I do. I almost want to go up to other mums and say, if they're struggling, you know, when you see a mum struggling a little bit, or they're a bit upset, or kids having a tantrum, or they've just got a newborn, and I've seen mums doing a newborn in Asda, like a shop with their newborn in Asda, and they're like doing that, and they're like, it's okay, and I can just see the panic that I remember feeling of like, oh my god, everyone's looking at me, and I don't know why my baby's crying, and I need to get. I just wish I could go and like, let me just hit the baby. But again, more of that needs to happen for it to be like a normalized, rather than people just staring at you because your baby's having a good old cry. And
definitely. Oh, it's hard, isn't it? Oh, bless these poor newborn mamas. But you've got this. Like, there are people out there who will support you. And even if that is just in an online space, like there are so many accounts out there that you can reach out to for support. And I'm sure you'll be one of them for feeding as well.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to see somebody in person to go over. Any like troubleshooting or just, you know, like a lot happens online now. And I just hope that if you are suffering or you are just feeling a bit like, oh, do I invest in a bit of, I always try and compare it to going for your driver's test, and that you wouldn't show up. Well, I wouldn't show up to my driving test, having done no preparation. I don't know anything about a car, not even really sure if it breaks down, what do I do? Like, I would try and think, right, I'm going to learn a little bit. I'm going to learn about what goes wrong, and who do I call if it does go wrong? And then boom, you've got a bit of prep going on, and you won't regret it, because even if it does go smoothly, you will take something away from reaching out to somebody who knows what they're talking about and can help you.
Yeah, definitely. Amazing. Well, on that note, could you tell everybody where we can find you so that they can reach out to you if they get stuck?
So my name's Alana Wagstaff, and my business name on social media and my website is Karma Therapy. And I'm
lovely.
I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and I have a website, and there's lots of ways to reach out. So I'm there if you need me, basically.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. So many mums are going to benefit from this episode. I'm going to make sure it gets out to the new mums out there as well, because I think they need this too.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much. Bye. Thank you so much for listening. As always, could you please subscribe, download, and leave a review? And I would absolutely love it if you could share my podcast with your friends. I'll see you for the next episode.